guys have such a bad musical taste. Why?
My parents are lousy music consumers. Why? Please release me from this.
Yeah, but I always like that.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that was a good one.
All right.
All right. Okay. So, I don't know who's putting these Beatles quotes in here. It's just, they're suddenly there, but I don't think they're put in and volunteered by the interviewees, but maybe by the journalists. So, this journalist says, so what are you going to do? I remember saying that. I read all that, didn't I? Sorry, it's only a little bit left, so I guess I'll be repeating. So what are you going to do? John Kay, I'm as confused as the next guy as to where it's going to go and what we're going to do and what it's going to solve once we do get there. But one thing that I'm definitely for is change. I'd rather take the risk of finding out that it may not work out than to just sit back and accept what is here and now, because I'm definitely not pleased with it. I'm radical to a degree, but I do believe that the time for nonviolence may be over. But on the other hand, I think it's somewhat silly to take a few isolated people and push them into a violent action that is supposed to produce change. If you don't really have the support of a large number of people, I don't think you can accomplish very much. And Zappa says, I like the idea of allowing things to happen. Allowing things to happen, in quotes. What better statement against fascism? I believe that all different styles of life can exist peacefully, side by side, if people allow other people to be what they are. Now, McLuhan would come in and say, social identity is based on violence. So for people to be what they are, they have to make an identity, and they have to be violent to make an identity in some way. So you couldn't be what Zappa's talking about. You can't have people existing side by side peacefully because they require identity making, which is violent. So the only solution is to realize there aren't no humans, no identity is possible, and start from there. A little help from Ion, maybe. But so Country Joe McDonald says, well, what it really comes down to is making myself happy. As for social behavior, if you're hurting anyone else, it's probably wrong. And that's why the social problems can be solved in the context of the mentality of the world today. The leaders systematically exclude gigantic portions of the human population as being radically different from them, which is entirely a false concept. We have a tendency to involve ourselves with our own kind, or what we think is our own kind. Like hippies mixing only with hippies, blacks only with blacks, students only with students. And this creates incredible myths and misunderstandings. So he's saying everybody is the same.
Yeah.
The leaders systematically exclude gigantic portions of the human population as being very radically different from them. Then Phil Oakes is going to kill himself. He's the most depressed. He goes, I really don't know. I wrote a new song, which I sang at the rally after the Carnegie concert, called, quote, All Quiet on the Western Front. And one line runs, quote, I think I'll join the National Liberation Front. And that's sort of my feeling now. I suspect that after Yippie, it might be healthy for some form of new political group to come onto the scene. Now, he was in the village with the formation of the Yippies. I guess he got very disillusioned with them. That's Paul Krasner, Dave Dellinger, the guy who ended up working for the little Maharishi kid, Abby Hoffman, Jerry Rubin. So he knew all these guys, but he's pissed off at them. He says, we need a group which is more sober rather than more crazy. In other words, a real National Liberation Front, whose purpose is to liberate America. Totally broad-based, which could take into its ranks the Kennedy people and the McCarthy people and the dissatisfied street people. But they'd have to really be together to get it together. And not only in America. I think a whole series of national liberation fronts throughout the Western countries would be a healthy development. A very heavy militant coalition of interest, able to include all sorts of people.
Mm.
All right, so then McDonald ends, Hunter Joe McDonald, I recommend compassionate action. To be compassionate today is the most revolutionary thing you can do. To act in a compassionate manner is the most revolutionary thing you can do, repeated. It eliminates almost all acts of violence and forces upon you a responsibility for the rest of the world. So, is there anything we can learn from this, Palmer?
They're obsolete.
They're yo-yo journalism, up and down, left and right. Too much violence, not enough violence. Too many stupid people, not enough stupid people. We need to get the young kids. No, the young kids are idiots. Ah, well, Zappa, I'm sure he sounded the sanest in retrospect. I like the idea of allowing things to happen. What better statement against fascism? I believe that all different styles of life can exist peacefully side by side if people allow other people to be what they are. Well, that's a little non-cynical. Must be a misprint. He probably didn't even say that. The only way I can handle it. How could Frank be so stupid and naive?
He was always saying... Well,
he was a consonus of conformist.
He was a what? What'd you say, Roxy?
Constitute.
That he was always complaining that he was misquoted, and,
yes,
and they would say he said things that he never said. And
yeah. I have an interview here. What are we going to do when I finish doing this episode? What's next? I guess I'll play those valuable clips of me and Ion the last couple of days, or yesterday. Is there anything else we have to do? It's too much to do McLuhan, I think. What do you think? Do we go do the next McLuhan?
Yeah. No.
You'd rather hear what Ion says. Okay, well, we'll play. I got to play McLuhan, and I mean, Bob, Ion, and then the final, second penultimate part of the rewrite. But there is this one pager. It says, "Zigzag unzips." Frank Zappa interviewed by Dick Lawson at the Royal Albert Hall. So he's in England. So I guess this is 68. Wait a minute here, 68. Uh-oh, this is... I don't know. Let's start half of it or something. So this is, I guess, 1969. Because he's talking about Beefheart. Over the last year or so, you have been thrust by the press into a position where you are an attitude spokesman, that's in quotes, for what is happening in the States, which is presumably why you were asked to lecture at the London School of Economics the other day. Well, we know that was in August 69. What exactly happened? Now, what's interesting is this is what Zappa was in 68, 69. Like, he wrote that article for Life magazine. He was asked to be a figurehead, a rational communicator. So the British are noticing this. Zappa says, "I wound up speaking to a large number of unfortunately misdirected young people. Who were you expecting? Something political and sociological to come up? I gave them something political and sociological. The only problem was it didn't agree with what they thought the tactics for a youth revolution should be. And I can't buy their tactics because I think they're juvenile." So this is the thing we were laughing. I laughed my head off, laughed into absurdity last week. This is him dealing with the same German, the impossible Germans. Then the journalist says, they were sort of trying to bring the Berkeley thing over here. Zappa says, yes, much in the same way as they imported flower power. Journalist, in September 67, when you first came over, you were shouting things like flower power sucks, when half the audience had flowers behind their ears and were cringing in their seats. Zappa says, well, I don't think I really made them cringe, because when a person's really into that, he believes it for as long as it's fashionable, and the problem with young people today is that they're not much more developed than their parents, you know. Their attitudes are slightly different in some regards, but the level of their individuality and their sociological development is only slightly better, and they are not, as they imagine themselves to be, the spearhead of some fantastic revolution that's going to turn the planet into some kind of Garden of Eden after they're done, because they're not. The main problem of what they advocate in terms of aggressive revolution and waving signs around in the street and boycotts and violence and all the rest of this stuff is A, it's a fad this season, and B, they don't offer any alternatives or anything better to replace the current situation with when they get done with their revolution. They don't offer any alternatives or anything better to replace the current situation with when they get done with their revolution. They're into revolution on a carnival level, and they aren't thinking in terms of the best things for the most amount of people. You know, they aren't taking into consideration the millions of people who probably don't want to be hip and groovy. They just want to be comfortable and sit around in their homes. And, you know, I don't believe that it's my place or anybody else's place to tell them that they're not entitled to that. It seems to me, so then the journalist says, it seems to me that you are not very choked off. No, it seems to me that you got very choked off playing and talking about this kind of thing, because you've come through Freak Out and Absolutely Free into Uncle Meat, three albums, where, as you say, it's basically an instrumental thing. I mean, you're much more concerned with the music itself, the jazz. It is jazz, isn't it? Zappa says, no, it's not. Well, what is it then? It's contemporary American music. American, because that's the environment that created it, Los Angeles and New York. Now, I never saw that statement before. That's pretty neat. Is it jazz? No. What is it? It's contemporary American music. American because that's the environment, Roxy's word, that created it, Los Angeles and New York. Then the journalist says, well, in fact, with Reuben and the Jets, it would make one think that any spare time you have, which can't be much, you sit around listening to Del Vikings and Gladiolos records and 50s stuff like that. Zappa says, well, as a matter of fact, I do listen to those sort of records because I have a large collection of them. But I listen more to Stravinsky and Perez than that, you know, almost to the exclusion of all other forms of pop music. The journalist, you don't listen to any of your contemporaries, groups and so on? Zappa, outside the groups that I'm producing during the time that I'm working on the project, no, I don't. You've recently befriended Captain Beefheart. Zappa says, I've known him 12 years. Ah, well, you appreciate he's a very big cult figure over here. Zappa says, I think they're in for a very big surprise as to what Captain Beefheart is into and where he's at. Because the two albums that you heard over here were, I think, extremely bad produced. And Beefheart himself has complained about what they did to him in the studio when he made those two albums. Because the first album, it was studio players backing him up to a certain extent. And the second album mixed in a way that was against his wishes. There were certain things that he wanted to have in there, and the producer took it into the studio and put that phasing effect all over some of the stuff and turned it into a piece of shit. And there were some interesting things on that album. I think the song Beetle Bones, Smoking Stones is really a great song. We sing it on the bus. But the new album that he's just made is a two-record set, and the roots of that music are in Delta Blues and also in avant-garde jazz, like Cecil Taylor, Thelonious Monk, and John Coltrane, and a lot of other things. You can really hear that influence, and it's perfectly blended into a new musical language. It's all his, and it bears no resemblance to anything anybody else is doing. And his words are also, you know, like, quote, miles ahead of the field, unquote. Blended into a new musical language. So this is when he's a manager for Cap Beefheart in the fall of 69. You don't find those influences influencing your work? Zappa goes, those jazz figures? To a small degree. Journalist, I would have thought that Ian Underwood's alto work, Zappa cuts him off and says, well, we got to remember that when Uncle Meat was recorded, Ian had just joined the group at that time, and he had been working with jazz groups in New York, and it's pretty much in an Albert Eiler type vein. And that type of music still influences some of his playing, but it's foolish to, every time you hear someone improvise, to assume that it's jazz. One of the main problems we've had all along is making people realize that you can improvise in any given set of themes or chords or basic rules. I mean, is John Cage's music jazz? Much of it is improvised. The journalist says, okay, if that is what you were doing...
That is interesting, because he's saying many people say jazz is improvisation music, and he's
saying no, other musics have improvisation.
Yeah, and rock can have this a lot of improvisation, and that doesn't make it jazz.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, so the guy says, okay, if that is what you were doing when Uncle Meat was recorded, which was in 68, Zappa says, Uncle Meat and Reuben the Jets were recorded simultaneously between October 67 and February 68. Well, what sort of stuff are you into now? He says, electric chamber music. And that's what you're going to play tonight? Yes, quite a bit of it. That's what we've been doing on the tour, and some of it's quite new. In fact, five of the pieces were written on the plane coming over, and we've been rehearsing them in a hotel with just the bassoon and the flugelhorn and the clarinet. Journalist, so in fact you're introducing new instruments as well. Zappa says, yes. What was your reaction to the festival hall audience last year? Zappa. I was surprised they didn't catch on to what we were doing quicker. They didn't catch on at all, did they? No, they didn't. They missed the whole point of it. And another thing that's not generally known is that that show cost us $5,000 just to get those musicians to record it, film it, get the costumes, make arrangements with the hall itself to put on that kind of show. It cost us money to do that. But I thought it was worth it. We recorded a very good album out of it, which will be our next record out around July. Then this the journalist says, I read in Downbeat that you did a 45-minute set with Roland Kirk at a Boston Jazz Festival. Were you billed together, or did you just play together because Roland Kirk was there? Zappa says, we were on the same show, and I met him after he had done his part. And I said, quote, would you be interested in playing with us, unquote. And he said he didn't know. And I said, well, you've never heard the group before. You don't know what we do. If you like it, come on out on stage and start playing, and we'll back you up. So, end of quote, end of that part of Zappa's story. Then he says, so we played for about 5 or 10 minutes, and he came wheeling out there with horns hanging all over him and blew his brains out. It was completely free, nothing planned. No, the journalist says, it was completely free, nothing planned? Zappa says, no, he just came bopping out there and we did it. Have you got any plans to record together? Well, he asked us to, you know, but we haven't gone ahead with any special schemes yet. Then the journalist says, recently Kirk came over and played with Jack Bruce, Steve Stills, Buddy Miles, and so on, in what many saw as an attempt to revitalize the group scene here. Did your getting together have any effect over there? Zappa says, I didn't see that our meeting had anything to do with revitalizing any group scene in the United States, which is very sterile to begin with. But people form groups basically in order to get a hit. There's some evidence to the contrary. There seems to be a bit of creative work going into it, but there aren't many really creative groups in the United States. BFAR is certainly an exception, and maybe one or two others. So then the interviewer says, what do you think of Billy Mundy's group, Rhinoceros? Billy Mundy used to play drums for the Mothers. Zappa says, I saw them live in Canada and was very impressed with this one thing they did called chicken. But the rest of what they were doing was pretty smooth, teeny bop type material. These were tunes they were getting ready for their next album. And this piece, Chicken, sounds extremely like the Mothers of Invention, which is why I like it. What do you think of the group scene over here? Have you seen any? Zappa says, only what I saw down at the speakeasy a couple of times, and I wasn't, you know, exceedingly enthralled by what I saw. Journalists, what about the groups that we're currently sending over, like Jethro Tull and the Nice? He says, I like Jethro Tull and the organist in the Nice very much. I think he plays very well. I also like the Rolling Stones. What about specific states groups? I don't pay that much attention. There's probably lots going on, but I get pretty involved in my small corner of it. Who else are you recording apart from BFARP? We have Wild Man Fisher, a group called Alice Cooper, Judy Hensky and Jerry Yester. We just bought 20 hours of Lenny Bruce tapes. We have Lord Buckley. The Police did him under in New York a few years ago, and he was a sort of strange type of comedian, definitely underground comedian of his time, which was the 50s. We also have a documentary album on the Kennedy assassination, the last one, which is very interesting. Got all the actual tapes of the assassination, interviews with Sirhan in his jail cell, interviews with the witnesses telling what they testified in court, and what the police told them to say. Interviews with the witnesses telling what they testified in court and what the police told them to say. How did you manage to get hold of all that? Frank says, a guy named Doug Moody put the album together and offered it to us, and we packaged it and put it out. You were quoted as having Tim Buckley. Is it in fact Lord Buckley? No, we are going to have Tim Buckley as soon as his contract is up with Elektra, and that'll probably be September. The journalist says, well, thank you very much. Give our love to Captain Beefheart. All right, there, we did that. Nobody's on mute. You can speak.
Yeah, that was very interesting.
Yes.
To hear what he thought about other bands and what he really liked. And
yeah, I've never read this before. It's a good particular interview. Talking about, I'd never heard the idea about the improvisation before from him. I didn't know that's how he distinguished jazz.
Yes, and he's not saying I'm a rock musician. He's saying I'm making contemporary American music.
Right. He says, when did he say that?
When he says, how would you define that? Because he says he's making jazz, and he says, no, it's
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Music.
He says, it's not jazz. Well, what is it then? It's contemporary American music. American because that's the environment that created it, Los Angeles and New York. That would be the car culture of L.A. I don't know what it would be in New York. So, yeah, he's saying he's making contemporary American music. He's not even putting himself in any group, which is pretty unique. Pretty good.
And it's true. I think his music goes beyond the boundaries of a rock band.
Right.
He had more like an orchestra than a rock band.
Okay, let's see where this gets us. This is an interview with Zappa in a film magazine called Take One. I think it's a Canadian magazine. And it says, Uncle Meat, the latest LP, so this is in 69. I have a date on the cover. Volume 2, number 2. So there's your 22. On the cover it has Alfred Hitchcock staring at Zappa. Dated the postmark, July 28, 1969. Okay. Uncle Meat, the latest LP by the Mother's Invention is described on the album cover as, quote, most of the music from the Mother's movie of the same name, which we haven't got enough money to finish yet, unquote. In a booklet that comes with the two-record album, Frank Zappa, founder of the Mother's, writes, quote, this film is stashed away in my basement while we scheme on how to raise $300,000 to finish it and make it spiffy so it can be shown in your local teenage neighborhood theater. This is an album of music from a movie you will probably never get to see. And the journalist says, though the film is still uncompleted, some of the outtakes have been shown at the Fillmore East during a concert by the Mothers. Recent plans calling for a 14-hour unedited version of the film to be screened in New York with the audience paying according to how much film they'd seen. Between sets at Toronto's Rock Pile Club, Zappa was interviewed about his career as a filmmaker by Take One associate editor Joe Medjuk. Joe Medjuk also interviews McLuhan around this time, produces a very interesting interview, which I read last week. I read about him making a film, mm-hmm. Remember?
Yeah.
So, what's the date of that? I mean, does that Zappa and McLuhan coming together pretty much the same time? Pretty interesting. I have to find that Take Today sometime. I mean that interview. Okay. So the interviewer, Joe Medjuk, says, presuming that the people who are going to read this won't know anything about Uncle Meat, what would you like to tell them about the film? Frank says, Uncle Meat is a surrealistic documentary about the whys and wherefores of a rocking teen combo. How long is it? It's probably about 2 hours. How much of it is completed? We've got about half done, I guess. Are you shooting in 16mm? Well, the stuff that I've already got done is in 16mm, but I need about $300,000 to finish it off. I have to shoot some stuff in 35. Any chances of getting it distributed that you've heard of? Well, I think that rather than show people little pieces of the way it is now and let them get the wrong idea of what it is, I think I'm going to have to find another way instead of hyping a distributor beforehand. Are you shooting it yourself? I shot some of it myself. Another guy named Ed Seaman shot quite a bit of it, and another guy named Don Preston shot some of it, and other parts were like confiscated German news film, calling it German. Did you use sync sound? Some of it it's wild and some of it in sync. No. Some of it's wild and some of it's think. How did you learn how to use a camera? I've been using a camera for 12 years. Could you say a bit about the plot of this movie? It deals with the conflicts that face an average middle-class sort of person who works for the government and does a bunch of things for the government that he's not proud of and can't tell his family what he's doing.
Mhm.
So
like his father.
Father,
how's he like
yeah.
his father?
Yeah, his father couldn't be proud of what he was doing. And
no, I don't know what you mean. What do you?
Yeah, his father, Frank's father, was involved in some experiments. That,
right.
I mean, he could not be proud of what he was doing, like he's saying there.
So your point was
that
he's describing his father.
He's
that,
thinking about that, his father. Yeah, that he knows.
Well, what? There's nothing in what I read that indicates that it's his father.
No, it's no. But his father was in that situation that he could not be proud of what he was doing.
Right. Okay. Well, where do I say that? I didn't read that, but we've talked about it before, right? This interview so
what
far.
Did you say it?
I said it right.
You, said,
you just said read it something.
Something.
From it, with that description, Bob.
Oh yeah, right at the end. I don't remember reading this. did you use think sound? Some of it's wild, and some of it's think. How did you learn how to use a camera? I've been using a camera for years. He didn't answer there. He didn't answer. Could you say a bit about the plot? It deals with the conflict that faces an average middle class sort of person who works for the government and does a bunch of things for the government that he's not proud of and can't tell his family what he's doing. See? Because
what I said, like his father.
That's right. Yeah, I see that. See? Because he's doing a top secret project for the government. You see, if it gets quite complicated, in the album Uncle Me, part of the plot is printed in a book that comes with a record set, and it would be better if you just take it out of that. Now, I've been thinking of reading this booklet to you guys many times. I don't think I read it, did I? This story.
No.
Well, they make a small copy of it. I don't know if I can read it, but I could try. But let's finish the interview. So, what's he saying here? The government's not proud of. Does a bunch of things for the government. Okay, that's his father, right? Doing a top secret project for the government. D gets quite complicated. In the album Uncle Meat, part of the plot is printed in a book that comes with the record, and it would be better if you just take it out of that. Then the interviewer says, how would you compare it to other people's films? Would you consider it revolutionary or... Zappa says, I won't say it's revolutionary, but it ain't like the Beatles movie. You mean Lester's Magical Mystery Tour? Zappa says, ain't like any of them. So he's irritated a bit, or pretending to be. And he says, it ain't like the Beatles movie, and then later he says, it ain't like any of them. Are there any directors whom you'd consider influences? I don't go to, so don't know anything about other directors. Did my phone buzz? Getting low.
Yeah.
But we're okay, I think, to finish this. Maybe not. I gotta read a little bit. Alright, I'm gonna put a segment of refreshment on for a minute while I get the other phone. Okay? You guys handle that?
Yes. We'll survive.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
What is it? You wanted Bean to Kansas. We didn't do that, did we? We didn't do the Kansas request. Bert.
No.
And
perfect.
Because
no.
We played.
We did.
Yeah, we played other movies, right? We got distracted. There, so go and.
Did the
other?
Who was Fucinelli?
What about first. That? Yes, yes.
That's what we played first.
Yeah.
Who? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
What? Who?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm information overload. I don't know what's coming or going. But I was going to play the song and I lost it. Like, what is it? the one you wanted.
Kansas City in A minor.
Okay. Well, here's Charles Ives. He said that Charles Ives, 19th century, early 20th century composer. What do you say about Charles Ives? Do you guys remember? He said he likes his stuff or something. That has to be one of the greatest fucking performances of music in human history. Holy shit.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Holy shit, man. It's like, you can forget. There's so many great things in Zappaland. You can forget great things. You don't hear them. You hear them once every 5 years. You stumble into the other room. Jesus Christ, they guys were playing. Very good choice there, Bert. Glad you remembered it. Of course, there's Billy's other great things, but that was phenomenal, eh?
Yes.
Wasn't it? Am I mistaken?
Yes.
Am I exaggerating?
No.
Have I not listened to enough Beethoven? What's a young mind like yourself, Alyssa, think of that?
So good. It's so, like... It's amazing. I mean, like, technically it's amazing, but it's how all the pieces are coming together that's so wonderful.
It's so muscular. Like,
it's a total environment.
It's very... What? What'd you say?
It's a total environment.
Right. It's a total environment. And to me, Zapp is playing so aesthetically and violently with his guitar. Like, he must be like a Superman. Very strong in the arms, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Or strong fingers or something. This sounds huge. And he's got these great horns. These fantastic horns going along. It like, I don't know if anybody knows where they're going. They just saw wailing. It sounds a bit like it's chaotic.
I was thinking.
Not.
Yeah, but that comes from all those hours and hours that they rehearse, and they go into a concert and they get to a certain chord or whatever, and then whoever's turn it is to improvise, they just go to a whole nother level, and the band follows them. It feels like that. It's amazing.
Okay, Bert, I want you to sit down, Bert. I'm going to have you sit down because. Now, Roxy, you still here in my phone? Is Roxy still here? Did she get dropped off?
She was.
Okay, maybe this is her. She often waves. Is that you, Roxy, with the waving hand?
Yes.
What do you think of that music? Was it as good for you as it was for us?
Yes. Very nice. Jazzy.
Now here, you just heard Bert say, it's years of rehearsal. If I'm not wrong, this is what's called the Petit Wazoo, not the Grand Wazoo. When I was in England in September 72, we saw the Grand Wazoo, big orchestra. He took a small number of those guys and did five concerts around New England. And it's called the little-known Petit Wazoo Tour. Now, maybe they rehearsed for the Grand Wazoo Tour, but these guys were session people. They weren't Mother's Invention. I don't know how long they've been with him, but they basically had not been fucking rehearsing like you're talking about, that we know about the traditional band.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. They are accomplished session musicians. They can adapt, but I don't know how much rehearsing went into this. That was so, that's like, I think it should be a national anthem or something.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Go. And, you know, he's just recovered from his accident, from being kicked off stage. He's still in a wheelchair when this is happening. Semi-leg brace kind of thing. Yeah,
so he's playing the guitar in a wheelchair then.
I can't remember. He was, there are pictures of him around the band in a wheelchair, but I can't remember him, if he was in a wheelchair in London. And this would have been a few weeks later, late September, early October. I remember him limping around or something like that, you know. But to say, but there are pictures of him in the wheelchair around this time. So he's just getting out, if he has. He's just got off the chair. But he's coming out almost being killed. And what's funny, I was looking at some of the, there's been all this commentary going on in the chat line. You know, volumes of stuff. People asking me questions about things we were saying 3 hours ago that I didn't even know about. Like, the great minds are being ignored if they're just typing. They have to come out here if they want Bob's value response. There's just too much going on. People are arguing over fucking things. There's like more than one show happening here in terms of audience participation. But, boy, that was quite exciting. It would be incredible to be Zappa and to play like that. What do you think of that, Alyssa? Wouldn't you like to be able to get up there and play a guitar like that with those musicians?
Yes.
What happened to Alyssa? Did she drop off? Yeah, I think she dropped off.
No, she dropped out, but...
Yeah, well, I think we better go to some recording. But that was a good suggestion, Bert. I've got it written down as Beam to Kansas, but that's not the title.
It is. It is. That is the title. I just, when I was, I have a list of songs, and I just remember Kansas City in A minor.
It must be Beam to Kansas
so
City.
It is.
I checked YouTube. It is Beam to Kansas City in A minor.
So what were you going to say, Roxy?
I just had some words.
Yes, it's, when I hear some of the pieces by Zappa, it's hard for me to believe that people say they don't like Zappa, because from the musical point of view, it's amazing in every aspect,
every aspect
of the composition.
I agree.
It's simple little man envy. It's fucking envy and not allowing themselves to realize what can be done. They're blocking furiously and allowing themselves to know that such a thing could exist. It's much like people's reaction to me. How could they not like me? How could they not like Ivan? Everything I offer cannot be disliked. You can't dislike McLuhan. You can't dislike Coker or Phineas Wake. It may be challenging. Or Joyce, yeah. It may be challenging and upset your whole life and make you feel depressed and useless, but it's still not something to be disliked. You're confusing your personal silly response to a work of beauty. You know? Just because it makes you feel tiny and inadequate and stupid, you should hate yourself, not the artist. But I like that, Roxy. That's right. I marvel that every day, twice a day. Why are people not praising this?
Right.
Well, it should be a national anthem. It'd be a company. I don't know. What would a 10-year-old kid today, if they could see that band doing that, what would they think? Would they be too whacked out from their tactile texting interplay to even hear anything? Would they notice it? You know? Too busy, like Sarah's kid, Noah, too busy running their own talk show to notice what Frank was doing.
Yes, everybody's into their little productions.
Producer mania. Trying to keep up with the Android meme.
Yeah. Taking selfies.
Right. Selfish? Yes. Yeah, selfies.
Taking
selfies?
Selfies.
Oh, taking selfies.
Selfies.
Oh, my God. Jesus. Yeah, it's Beam to Kansas City in A minor. So he's been to Kansas City. It's a funny title. It's a virtual Kansas City. It's a place in A minor. So let's finish this interview. I made an incredible discovery in this fucking movie interview. I can't believe it. But I have not read this in 40 years. Now look at that. It's fucking half a century, man. I mean,
wow.
This is like, I don't know. It was in the 60s. Somebody showed me footage from the 20s. Well, what are we looking at something from the 20s for? That's a fucking long time ago. This is how far away these interviews are. I've turned into a fucking ancient museum.
No, it's
really
because it turned out that this is connected to the Chambord Castle. That
yes. All right. So we're at this point where he said... it deals with the conflicts that face an average middle class sort of person who works for the government, does a bunch of things for the government that he's not proud of, and can't tell his family what he's doing. Holy shit, I totally forgot that's his father. See? Because he's doing a top secret project for the government. See? It gets quite complicated. In the album Uncle Me, part of the plot is printed in a booklet. Would you consider it revolutionary or what? He says, I won't say it's revolutionary, but it ain't like the Beatles movie. And the journalist says, do you mean Lester's Hard Day's Night or Magical Mystery Tour? Zappa says, ain't like any of them. Are there any directors whom you'd consider influences? Zappa says, I don't go to the movies, so I don't know anything about other directors. It's like... He knows a lot about music, but it's another case of, well, I built this fucking dome, but I don't know how, I know nothing about architecture. It's an incredible movie.
He always said, I don't read anything. I don't go to the movies. I don't listen to anything.
He's the original producer maniac. He's too busy making stuff. He's the only successful producer maniac. Who actually knows nothing, but then creates unbelievable stuff.
Yeah.
I don't go to the movies. I don't do anything. I know nothing. He's so confident about his own making. He's just making what he wants to make. But he has a message. He's trying to show synesthesia or something. You know, he is... He knows what his message is. He doesn't give a fuck what anybody else's message is. I like the way Rocky says, he doesn't do anything. You know nothing about music, doesn't listen to anything, never had a coffee, never had a hot dog. He's an alien. Never slept. I don't sleep. I don't know anything about sleep. So the other guy says...
eat ice cream and go to the beach.
Yeah. I live on coffee and cigarettes. So the guy says, when Zappa says he knows nothing about other... He doesn't even know there are such thing as directors. I know nothing about other directors. He says, the journalist says, I heard a rumor that you almost did the music for Barbarella. And he says, well, we were playing in London about 2 years...